Psalm 96 in the Word of God. Ain't you thankful for your Bible?
Amen.
Amen. That's all four or five of you. Ain't you thankful for your Bible? Thankful for the Word of God. I'm always excited when we talk about the King James Bible to hear Brother Mike say it's perfect. It's perfect. You say, why does he say that? Because it's perfect. It is perfect. And we need to be reminded, of that in these days. I'm thankful for the word of the Lord. Psalm 96, let's look here for just a moment. And amen, we'll give you a little nugget or two. I'll break this up over two Wednesday nights, I think. I know where I want to get to this evening. And so you listen fast, and I'll preach fast. I heard one preacher say this week, he said, I preach faster the more amens that I get. And they laughed at him when he said it, amen, because they knew it wasn't so. He was just wanting to hear some amens. And so, amen, you say amen tonight, and that'll help me, and that'll help you too. Psalm 96, let's stand together. Sure am thankful to be in the house of the Lord. Psalm 96, we'll read all 13 verses. And what a psalm this is. The Bible said, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Boy, I can't wait to get to that verse here in a minute. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Did you notice when we read verses 1 and 2, the psalmist said, sing, sing, sing. You come to verse 7 and 8, and he said, give, give, give. Ain't that interesting? Amen. It is to me. Amen. Somebody says something one time, amen. That's good. If they say it twice, amen. You've got a double blessing. When they say it three times, you better perk up and go, what in the world are they wanting me to get hold of? Oh, the Bible said, bring an offering and come into his courts. Verse 9, or worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Listen, verse 11 and 12. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful in all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. So he said, sing, 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 give, give, give. And verse 11 and 12, he said, let, 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 let. And so he's emphasizing some things that, amen, are the responsibility of the children of God. That's all 13 verses tonight. Psalm 96, you be seated. Let's pray one more time. And we'll do a little study here with you and make our way. Try to get the first six verses this evening. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for the mercy and the grace and the goodness of the Lord. I'm thankful tonight, Lord, for the privilege to enter into this sanctuary. Lord, I know we're missing several that normally are here, faithfully here. And Lord, we do miss them tonight. Lord, we know they're in other places and Lord, doing some very important work this evening in the cause of Christ. And so, Lord, use them. But, Lord, this manifestation of the church family, Lord, we've gathered here tonight, and we need something tonight to encourage our heart. Lord, we've come in tonight, Lord, with the preaching of the Word of God being the main thing. Lord, we've sung, we've prayed, and, Lord, these things are important. Lord, we need some help tonight from the Word of God. And so I pray, Lord, that you would challenge and stir every one of us, teach us something tonight. Lord, I pray when the end of this service is done, may we have learned something we can put into practice. May we have been stirred and encouraged, Lord, to continue to serve you in these days. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. Amen and amen. Psalm 96. What a psalm, as we've read every word of this tonight in our hearing. Psalm 96, you'll find when you study, it is a portion of another psalm that is ascribed to be penned and recorded for Asaph by David. And you'll read that psalm, actually in 1 Chronicles 16, verses 7 through verse number 36. And of that lengthy psalm, I believe it's verse 23 through verse number 33, you can overlap it nearly word for word to Psalm 96. And this psalm, in 1 Chronicles 16, is a combination of Psalm 96 as well as portions from Psalms 105 and Psalm 106. And that interested me to think about why is this psalm just a snippet from that David wrote, and then the other psalms combined to form a rather lengthy psalm in David's day. And it would seem in my study that Jewish leaders at times felt led, and I believe I'd argue at least in this case, were led by the Spirit of God to use excerpts of psalms to commemorate special events. And Psalm 96 is more than an abbreviation. It is in the King James Bible by the will of the Lord in the exact way that it is penned there. It's believed in my study. It is believed Psalm 96 to have been used in the dedication of the second temple after that Israel been carried away into Babylonian captivity and had come back and rebuilt it in the days of Ezra and the days of Nehemiah, much like we're began studying on Sunday nights in Nehemiah 3. This was a time, and would have put Israel in a time when they would have been a vulnerable nation surrounded by heathen and Gentile people. As we read these 13 verses, there is a theme, and we'll draw your attention to it in a moment. But this psalm is ultimately about the Lord, and yet it references the heathen and the people and the nations in the world. Should it have been abbreviated, or should it have been a condensed version of the psalm that David wrote for this special time? They are looking around them and they see that they're the people of God. They're just a minority. They are a small group of people that, my friend, really is just but been reduced to but a small part of what they used to be. They used to be a mighty nation, and the worlds around them used to fear them, and the heathens around them used to tremble in terror and fear at the name of their God. Now they've been brought back, and God is reviving them, and they sing this psalm with the joy of the Lord in their heart, looking around at all the heathens and all the Gentiles and all the pagans and all the idolaters that are around them. And the psalmist here, and the way this psalm is composed, is a psalm that is both messianic and missionary. By messianic, I don't look to take this psalm necessarily this way, but it is about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is about the Lord Jesus in His redemptive work. It is about the Lord Jesus Christ ultimately in that time of the millennial reign that is to come, whereby the Lord Jesus Christ will rule and reign in Jerusalem from the throne of David. He's going to reign, and every nation of the earth is going to come and worship Him and bow to Him and give Him, my friend, the exaltation and the praise that He deserves. And this psalm ultimately is calling upon all the world to do that. And yet I want to focus in on tonight. This psalm is, I believe, that from a very practical standpoint, it is very deeply missionary. You say, what do you mean by that? Listen to what David here calls upon the people of God to do. In verse number 2, he said again in the middle of the verse, show forth His, that is the Lord's, salvation from day to day. Show it forth. Show it forth. Take His salvation that you know something about and show that forth where? We'll see in a moment to all the world. Take it to all the heathens and all the people and all the nations. And this phrase that is used here, show forth, it means this. See if this sounds familiar to New Testament etymology or semantics or what we would know, amen, our responsibility to be as the church of the living God. Show forth, but Jesse literally means to announce good news. To announce good news. And the news here is salvation. Amen. That God saves. That the Lord is, amen, a God that offers salvation. Amen. To announce good news. David said, penned many years before this psalm had been condensed to commemorate the building of the second temple, in a day when the people of God are a minority, in a day when My friend, the enemies are popping up all around them. Amen. They cling to this psalm and are challenging themselves. Amen. We may be small, but we're the people of God. And we're going to show forth and we're going to announce to all these heathens that are around us, amen, the good news that our God is full of salvation. This word or this phrase, as David gives it, show forth. In my study of that phrase and how this word and this phrase is used in your King James Bible, here's what I've determined is that it is best understood in a military setting. You'll find this word used throughout the Old Testament in battle scenes of the history of the nation of Israel. Israel would have been in a battle, and then in the midst of that battle, victory would be had. And messengers would run back with good news and glad tidings announcing, amen, that the victory has been won. Amen, that they had conquered and that, my friend, there was no need for defeat. There was no need for despair. That, my friend, that there had been a report of victory upon the battlefield. May I say this evening that, amen, is the good news that you and I announce. Amen, that's what we long to announce to those that are around us. And my friend, there is no need to live in defeat. There is no need for sinners to die in their sin and go to hell. Amen, as the losers that sin has made us all. That Jesus Christ came to where we were. He came to the battlefield and He took the enemy on and He conquered him through the cross by His death and His burial and His resurrection. My friend, in doing so, He has conquered death, hell, and the grave. He has paid the price for our sin, and we announce the good news to the world around us. Amen, that the victory has been won by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, I believe even in that old economy, we realize that they were saying God is interested in not just the Jewish people, not just in the Israelites, but He was interested in the whole world all along. Amen. I'm glad we've got good news tonight. Amen. That's what the word gospel really means. Good news. Good news from a far country. Amen. You can't save yourself and you're in a mess. And if you die in your sin, amen, you'll bust hell wide open forever and forever with no escape. Jesus came and paid the price and won the victory. And now there is salvation that can be had. Amen. Note that this psalm is about announcing good news to all the earth. Amen. I believe it contains the message that we are to give to the world. I understand that it's not, amen, it's not as clear and in detail as what, amen, Revelations after Psalm 96 give us of the gospel. Amen. It doesn't contain some of the deep doctrinal truths Isaiah saw and gave in chapter 53. Amen. It doesn't, my friend, record the events as the gospel writers did of what the Lord Jesus accomplished for our victory. Amen. I understand it's not as clear as Peter standing on the day of Pentecost and calling a crowd to consider their sin and where they are, and that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. I understand, Brother Jack, I understand this is not as clear and as detailed as what the Apostle Paul would give so many times and in so many places. Amen. This is not Philip preaching to the Ethiopian eunuch. This is not Stephen preaching to the Jews who would ultimately martyr him and kill him. But my friend, I believe there's three announcements that, amen, we can find here that we ought to make, amen, to this world. It contains the message we're to give to the world. Amen. This is the psalm of and for the soul winner. Amen. We are to be soul winners. We are to be announcing the good news. Amen. You say, I don't believe in that, then you don't believe your Bible. Amen. We're to be about the business of, amen, reaching to the heathens and reaching to the world. Amen. You say, preacher, are you a good soul winner? All I'll tell you tonight, amen, is that I want to be. Amen. I would be the first to admit there are great failures in my own life in that regard. Amen. But I want to be, and I want to strive to be. And passages of Scripture, like Psalm 96, stir my heart over and again. Amen. To try to show forth. Amen. To want to go and announce some good news to somebody along the way. Amen. God is interested in the heathen. God is interested in the sinner. Amen. And you and I, the people of God, ought to be interested in them as well. And so the psalmist is saying somebody's got to show it forth. Amen. Somebody needs to, amen, show forth his salvation. I like what the psalmist said. He said, do it from day to day. Amen. In other words, that is your daily responsibility. Amen. Is to tell somebody the good news that Jesus has the victory. Amen. I thought about this today and it put me under conviction. Amen. And so let me try to give you the conviction the Holy Ghost put on me. Amen. The Holy Ghost said, have you done that today? Have you told anybody today? Have you attempted in any manner or fashion? Amen. Did you do that yesterday? Did you do it today? Are you determined that you're going to do it tomorrow? And the psalmist said, this is our daily responsibility. Amen. You say, preacher, amen, who do I tell? Just open your eyes. There's sinners everywhere. Amen. There's more sinners on planet Earth tonight than there has ever been before. The world's population is greater. Amen. Even if, I don't know if you've been in Cobb County on a Friday afternoon. Amen. It's about turned into New York City around here. There's so many people everywhere. Amen. And they're going here and they're going there and they're doing this and they're doing that. My friends, spiritually, they're headed to hell and they're running to sin. Amen. And it's our responsibility, amen, according to this psalm, to announce some good news to them. Amen. You say, preacher, they're heathen. That's what this psalm's about. Amen. You say, preacher, they're in bad shape. That's the crowd that needs it. Amen. I love what Jesus said. I didn't come to call of the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And my friend, this psalm, I believe, is, and this is the thought we want to preach on, amen, is the psalm of the soul winner. A psalm of the soul winner. I want to work our way through this psalm. You say, preacher, I don't even know what to tell a sinner. Amen. And somebody said, just tell them what Jesus did for you. Amen. That's a good place to start, is it not? Amen. I tell you why some spend their, amen, the entirety of what is supposed to be their saved life and never tell anybody is they ain't got anything to tell. Amen. Just tell them what Jesus done for you. Amen. That's what the Apostle Paul, for the most part, did. Amen. Every time he'd get a little crowd together, any time he'd get somebody in his jail cell, amen, he'd say, yes, let me tell you what Jesus did for me. Let me tell you about when I was on the road to hell and doing my own thing and fighting against God, how God worked in my life. Amen, and saved me. That's a good thing to announce tonight. Amen, what Jesus has done for us. I want to get a little more specific about it tonight. I'll give you just the first point, and I think this is the main thing, amen, of what we are to announce. Number one, amen, are y'all ready for this? Amen, three announcements from this psalm that the psalmist declares. Amen, the psalm of the soul winner. Number one, amen, we announce the good news that our Lord redeems. Amen. I'm telling you, can't tell a sinner anything better than that, than that Jesus can save them from their sin. I'm glad tonight he's a good Savior. I wrote it down this way. The first and foremost importance of the soul winner's message is salvation. Amen. Listen, there's times we've gotta break the ice, as it were, so to speak. Amen. There's times, my friend, even in knocking doors, we find somebody. Amen. And what we'll tell them, Brother Jack, or how we'll begin. Amen. We'll see, maybe. Amen. I've seen Brother Tim do this. Maybe there'll be an old antique car truck. And Brother Tim will talk to him about a car truck. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Amen. I've gone to places and I'll see little toys and bikes out in the yard, and I'll maybe break the ice talking about children and who's in the house. Amen. And we talk to sinners about a lot of different things, but amen, they ain't no greater. There is no greater. There is no foremost important subject at the soul winner in his message is to carry than that of salvation. Amen. In fact, the psalmist said, show forth his salvation. Amen. Show his salvation. Amen. Tell them how the Lord can deliver. Amen. Tell them how the Lord can rescue. Amen. Let them know how bad a shape they're in without his amazing grace. Amen. And give them that announcement of the good news that our Lord redeems. Amen. You remember when you heard it for the first time? I mean, when you really heard it for the first time. Amen. I'm not talking about my friend where it went in one ear and out the other. Amen. But some man of God, somebody on a job, amen, some family member set you down and said, can we talk? I need to tell you about, amen, God and his amazing grace. Amen. I believe that ought to be our message tonight. You understand, we've got a message. We've got a powerful message tonight. Amen. The gospel, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. He said it's a powerful message. Amen. To be able to sit down and tell somebody, amen, of the power of God unto salvation. Amen. We could change the world tonight. Amen. We could get the Muslims, my friend, to lay down their arms and take off their bombs. If somebody, amen, can get the message to them and our Lord redeems, we, amen, could shut down the bar rooms and the honky-tonks tonight. Amen. We could put the moonshiners out of business tonight. Amen. If the church would arise and say, amen, we got a message that can change the world. Amen. And I'm afraid tonight, and I'm guilty of this. And I understand the days we're living in. I understand sinners probably, amen, are harder than they've ever been. I understand they're more steeped in sin and their minds are so twisted and depraved. But may I say, amen, they're not beyond the reach of God's and God's salvation. He can still change lives. He can, amen, still rescue them. He's done it before. Amen. Some of you tonight are witnesses of that. Amen. That it doesn't matter how far you've gone. Amen. The Lord is a mighty and a powerful Savior. And so the first and foremost importance in the soul winner's message, amen, is salvation. Amen. When you knock on their doors, they want to talk to you about politics. Amen. I've had a mad friend want to ask me all sorts of, amen, vain questions and religious questions and things that, my friend, they've been pondering and wondering about. And to some degree, I'll humor them maybe for a moment. Amen. But I ain't there. I don't knock on their door. I don't stop them down at the gym. I don't stop them when I'm out about town and God opens the door. Amen. To try to straighten them out on their political leaning and thinking. Amen. My friend, our message must be, amen, that there is good news that our Lord redeems. Amen. Salvation. Notice with me. Amen. I got 3 or 4 or 5 things wrote down here about the message of salvation that we're to announce to, amen, as soul winners. Number one, amen, remember the scope of salvation's message. Amen. Oh, I love this. Amen. Look with me in verse number 1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Amen. Underline all the earth. Brother Tim, I think the psalmist is saying, amen, this thing of salvation is for all the earth. Amen. It is for all the earth. Amen. You say, where ought we to get the gospel message? Amen. We ought to get it into all the earth. Amen. Every nation, every continent that's represented on our back wall. Amen. The gospel, salvation's message, amen, can work. It don't matter where you take it. In fact, 7 times in this psalm, count them. Amen. Count them out while I preach, or do it when you get home. Makes no difference to me. Amen. Or even take my word for it. 7 times in this psalm, we see the words earth, world, and nations. Amen. Earth, world, and nations. Amen. You say, but they're in Jerusalem. They're the people of God. They're the people of God's eye. Yeah, but even they knew in singing this song. Amen. It ain't enough that God has just saved us. It ain't enough that we're just the seed of Abraham physically and spiritually. Amen. God wants the message into all the earth. Amen. Carry it everywhere. Salvation is not confined, amen, to a temple in Jerusalem. It's not confined to the borders of Israel. Amen. Past or present. Amen. Brother Maurice, the scope of salvation's message is it, my friend, he's interested in every nation, every kindred, every tongue, every tribe. Amen. And I'm telling you, there's some tribes scattered all through these hills we live in. Amen. They're, my friend, they're not beyond the scope of salvation's message. Amen. Maybe you'll shout on this and notice the sort of salvation's message. Amen. Who is it for? We see the scope. It's for everywhere. Amen. But let's be honest. Amen. And the earth and the nations that are in the earth and in the world tonight. Amen. Those nations are made up of individuals. Amen. You understand this tonight. Amen. You got to understand this tonight. And the psalmist and those in the days of Ezra that sang this psalm with the Gentiles all around them. Amen. You know what they were saying about those individuals? It said they are heathens. They are idolaters. Amen. It called them just simple people. Amen. The people. They're not God's people. They're the people of the earth. They're the people of the world. They are heathens, the Bible said. Amen. May I say these terms are used 6 times in this psalm. Amen. Particularly the first time in verse number 3. Declare His glory among the heathen. His wonders among all people. Amen. He didn't call us to go out in town and just find people that look like us and dress like us and be drawn to invite them to church. He said, you go down to where the heathen are. Amen. The ones that's got the piercings in places, no human being ought to have piercings. Amen. The ones that are tattooed from Dan to Beersheba. Amen. The ones who got, amen, all different sorts of color dye in their hair. Amen. Go down to where the heathens are. He said that's where you ought to declare. Amen. Declare it to them who need it the most. Declare it to those who are steeped in sin. Amen. The ones you think are beyond saving. Amen. That's the sword he came to say. I'm afraid, don't you get mad at me tonight. Amen. I'm afraid we become a lot like, amen, that crowd in the days of Jesus had said, amen, this man, he's a friend of publicans and sinners. Amen. All he wants to do is run with the rejects. Amen. We hear a crowd say today, I want to be like Jesus. Amen. When's the last time you sat down with somebody, amen, who didn't look like you? It, amen, looked a little bit intimidating and looked like, amen, I'm thinking a man right now. Amen. I'm thinking a man right now. Amen. That in the first quarter of this year. Amen. I'm telling you, if you looked at him, but Gerald, he looked like he'd rip your head off. Amen. With his bare hands. Amen. From a distance, I'm telling you, he'd intimidate you. Amen. But God let me sit down, give him the gospel, and invite him to church. Amen. And I'm telling you tonight, amen, I'm telling you, when we sat down, amen, I don't believe he'd hurt a fly. Amen. I don't believe, my friend, he's ever stepped on a bug. Amen. He looks like a heathen. He lives like a heathen. Amen. But that's the kind Jesus came to save. When's the last time you done that? See, I'm guilty of this. Amen. And you're guilty of this. Amen. Sometimes we ride by and we see the heathen. We mock them for the heathens they are. Amen. Now, I know it's funny. It's funny. Amen. To walk by somebody and see, amen, the things that they're doing to their body. I don't know if it's funny. I find it amazing sometimes. Like, good night. Who in the world would want to do that? If we're not careful, my friend, we'll run on down the road. We'll say, I can't believe they've done that. I've done that and you've done that. Amen. When's the last time you got down the road and the Holy Ghost said, why don't you go back there and tell them that Jesus saves? Amen. Amen. You can like it or love it. We ain't right with God if we don't realize the sort of salvation's message it is not. Amen. Just for the four walls of the church. And it seems like in these days of prayer and these times of us gathering together and seeking God for revival. Amen. The more the Holy Ghost has said, amen, I'm going to touch you. I'm going to help you. But you've got to get going after that sort. Amen. That sort that others snarl their nose at and say, don't bring them in. Amen. I hope they come. I hope we bring them in. I hope they sit right down next to you. Amen. I hope they make you uncomfortable. And I hope God reaches down and saves them. Amen. That is the sword that he came to save. Amen. 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 The scope of salvation's message, the sort of salvation's message, and then never forget the source of salvation's message. Amen. Notice with me in verses 4 and 5. Amen. Notice what he said. He said, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Amen. Let me see if I can give this to you, how God put it in me. Brother Rowdy, what he is saying is, there is no salvation in any other God. When you go to the heathen, amen, part of what we are instructing them in, part of what we are to announce to them and the good news we have to give, is that whatever and whoever they are trusting in will be insufficient to the soul, the saving of their soul. And my friend, I'm telling you, amen, they are but idols, but David said, the Lord made the heavens. Amen. In other words, we are drawn to consider the fact that my friend, our God, the truth here is only the Lord, and lay claim of responsibility for the creation of old. Only the God of the Bible, only the God of heaven can say, I made everything you see. I made the dry land to appear. I spoke light into bed. I placed the sun and the moon and the stars in the sky. Every creeping thing upon the earth, every swimming creature that's in the sea, I made it all. I made man out of the dust of the ground. Amen. I am the one who made the heavens and the earth. He is laying claim. And the psalm and the soul winner is this. Amen. Do not forget, amen, that he is the one that lays claim to the responsibility of creation of old. Therefore, he is the only one that can be responsible for the new creation. These other gods couldn't even speak. Amen. They couldn't speak anything into existence. They couldn't make anything out of nothing. Greater still than salvation's message is this. Our God that made it all, he can take your wasted life. He can take your messed up situation. And he can make it a new creation. He can give you a brand new beginning. As the Bible begins, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Amen. He longs to give sinners a new beginning. He longs to take the nothing of their life. Amen. And my friend put, amen, his handiwork upon them. Amen. Don't ever forget you're not the source of salvation. Amen. The Baptist way is not just the way of salvation. My friend, it goes beyond being a Baptist, Methodist, amen, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, Charismatic, or Church of God. It is his saving message. Amen. It is the Lord that is the Savior, and salvation belongeth to him. Amen. And in the psalm of the soul winner, the psalmist David is saying, do not forget it is God, it is our Lord alone that can redeem.
Amen. Amen.
It's not Jesus plus anything. It's not Jesus minus anything. It is Jesus and Jesus alone. Amen. And so, amen, there is something for the soul winner to be cheered in. Amen. For this, amen, for this, you say, this what? Amen, for this, that he is the source of salvation's message. He and he alone is the one who can save. Amen, for this, he is great and should be greatly praised.
Amen.
We ought to praise the Lord to the heathens we're trying to win to God.
Amen.
Amen. We ought to brag on him for what he done for us. The new creation he made in our life. Amen. Again, if you don't know what to say, just start telling them what Jesus did for you. Amen. Just tell them how empty you were, and tell them how bad a shape you was in, and tell them how deceived you were in sin, and how God sent a preacher, and God, amen, sent the gospel to you by some means, whether, amen, through preaching or the published page. And my friend, how God began to work in your life and convict you of your sin and convict you of the condition that you were in. Had began to turn your life to him. How he gave you faith to believe. Amen. How he, amen, made all things new in your life. Amen. Began to praise and understand. Amen. One of the greatest things we can do, amen, before the sinner in announcing that our Lord redeems, amen, is tell them how great things God has done for us and praise him to their face.
Amen. Amen.
Thinking of another young man. I won't give too many details, but even just this year, amen, I cornered him on purpose. God had burdened me for him for several weeks. Said, I got up one morning, the Lord said, today's the day you're going to talk to him today. And I got him cornered up, and I began to talk to him, and I know a little bit about his background.
And Sissy there, amen, just across the way from the house. Amen, I said, I want you to listen to me. Amen, because he's doing good. He's going through some reformation time in his life. Amen, and I'm proud of him for some decisions he's made. Amen, but I stood right there with him in the parking lot. And Brother Randy, tears, God let me get burdened for it. Amen, I began to weep and cry. I said, I want to tell you something. Amen, but by the grace of God, I'd be where you was. Amen, I was headed down that road. And I began to tell him, Brother Tim, what the Lord did for me. How the Lord let me hear some preaching. How the Lord began to show me what I really was. And I didn't need reformation. I didn't just need to live to make my mom and daddy happy. I didn't need to just make some changes to get the preacher off my back. And I realized I was lost and undead. I realized in that death, as good as everybody thought I was, amen, that was not enough. And how God came to me, how God spoke to me, how God revealed to me, amen, and He was the only way, amen, I could ever be saved and I could ever go to heaven. And my friend, I began to praise the Lord. I said, I'm telling you, I don't know where I'd be had Jesus not saved me when He did. Amen, and God let me just start bragging on and praising God to that sinner's face. You say he gets saved, he ain't got saved, but I promise you this, he goes home at night. Amen. He knows he's a Christian. Amen. That on that particular day, I ain't always got it. I ain't bragging, I ain't the standard. But on that particular day, had enough burden to tell him Jesus was the only way. Amen. You'll never convince me. Amen. There ain't times in his life where that emptiness ain't still there. Amen. That he don't think back. Amen. To what Brother Jeff, amen, weeping and praising God, told it. Amen, there's only one source of salvation.
That's right.
My friend, you got a responsibility, and I do, to do that from day to day. Tell somebody, amen, of salvation's message. When's the last time you have? When's the last time you did? So I ain't got no sinner friends, and you sure ain't right with God. We got other messages we need to preach to you. So I don't know nobody in that shape. And dear God, you're more backslid, amen, than you can even realize. Amen, dear God, help us, amen, to understand we have an announcement of good news and our Lord redeems. Dear God, I got to hurry. I got two more sub-points here. Let me give them to you. Amen, we've seen the scope and the sword and the source. And notice with me something in these verses. We'll back up to verse 1 and 2. Cause you thought I skipped over it. And I did it on purpose. Alright? I call it the song in salvation's message. Amen. David said three times, sing, sing, sing. Amen. I believe he's talking about, amen, what salvation will produce. Amen. It produces a song. Amen. Three times David says sing. Amen. And may I add to that, as David does, it is for the redeemed a new song.
Amen.
If you have been saved, hallelujah. He said, with that salvation is a new song. Can I say a word about that tonight? Amen. Can I say a word about it? Amen. You see in salvation's message, amen, I believe this is something we ought to preach. I believe this is something we ought to witness of. I believe this is something that ought to be evident in our own life. Amen, you see, amen, according to Psalm 40 and in verse number 3, in that great text that we quote a lot of times, amen, this thing of a new song is, this is placed in the mouth of the saved by God Himself. David said that he was in a horrible pit. He inclined to the Lord. He cried to God. God heard his cry and came to where he was in the horrible pit and brought him up out of the horrible pit. And Brother Larry, here's what the psalmist said, Psalm 40 in verse 3. And he hath put a new song in my mouth.
Amen.
This ain't something religion does for you. This ain't something a mere preacher can do for you. Oh no, the song that, amen, the song, the new song, amen, is placed in the mouth of the saved by God, and He places it there as a testimony of the passing of the old.
Amen.
The new song is a testimony that, Brother Tim, old things have passed away.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I feel like shouting a minute. Amen. Let me not get too carried away. A song. Amen. This song that David speaks about. Amen. God giving that the redeemed can sing. It is a song with both a new melody and a new message.
Amen.
It has a brand new melody. And it has a brand new message. All the old songs of the heathens testified of things that were in absolute rebellion to God. They promoted things that God said, thou shalt not. Amen. And the things that God said, thou shalt. Amen. Those songs made a mockery out of. When God saves a heather, amen, He changes their life. He puts a new song in their life. Amen. And that song begins to promote a new message, and it has a new melody.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Hang with me. I'm going somewhere. Preacher, are you saying that when we get saved, we sing? Well, I believe this goes beyond singing a melody of words and notes that are on a page. I believe it testifies to something that is deeper than that.
Amen.
Amen. I think it testifies of a brand new life.
Amen.
Amen. See, music and singing is about life. No matter where you find the music, it doesn't matter what channel you tune in tonight. It's all about life. It's somebody's life. Amen. It's the experiences somebody has gone through or is going through or is anticipating in their life. Amen. But when David said, amen, in salvation's message, we get a new song. Amen. He is testifying. Amen. He is testifying that our God, when He redeems, gives a brand new life.
Amen.
This new song is the evidence of the change that comes by God's saving grace. You say, can you prove that? I believe I can. I believe I can. Amen. May I say that this new song, amen, that we're to sing, this new song that is to be, amen, coming up out of our new life, it is unto the Lord, and it is to bless His name. But Psalm 40, and in verse number 3 again, here's what the psalmist said. Sam, here's what the psalmist said. It said, He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto my God. And here's what He said. He said, many shall see it. He didn't say, but Tim, He didn't say they would hear it. Amen. He didn't say it'd be pleasant to their listening ear. He said that new song, it's more than what, amen, is coming up out of here. My friend, it's the new life. Amen. The testimony that God has changed my heart. God has changed my life. And many ought to be seeing the change that God has made in me.
Right.
You can't hide it. You can't hide it. If God has given you the new song of salvation, you can't hide it. Amen. Amen. And that change in life is not to glorify us. God didn't put it in our lives so that we could sing it unto us and have people worship us. Oh no, it's all to the blessed name of our great God and Savior who alone redeems. Amen.
Let me give you a closing fourth or fifth. What are we on? I got them lettered. This is E. Amen. Number E. Notice the splendor after salvation's message. I see that in verse number 6. See that in verse number 6. See if you don't see this. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. I call that the splendor after salvation. We didn't know how lovely the Lord was before we were saved. We couldn't comprehend how much majesty belonged to Him. We couldn't understand, my friend, the beauty that, amen, that could be beheld by faith to this one who was the Lord of heaven and of earth and the one who alone could redeem. Amen. Before we were saved, we thought He was trying to keep us from having fun. Before we were saved, we thought, amen, He was standing in our way of enjoying the pleasures of sin in our life. Amen. But do you remember when you got saved? Do you remember when you bowed your head as a sinner and cried for mercy? And you said something like this, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, I'm lost and I'm undone. And I'm claiming Christ and Christ alone. Amen. As the only way of my salvation. Amen. Have you, amen. Do you remember what it was like to bow your head, a sinner, in humility, in repentance to God? Amen. Broken over your sin, ashamed of what you had done to God. In that moment of salvation, lift your eyes. Take in the loveliness of who Jesus is.
Amen.
You say, oh, you're just evangelistically preaching. You're trying to work it up. I'm telling you, the night, amen, the morning that I got saved, it was still dark outside. The birds hadn't even begun to sing, and I was so broken over my sin. Amen. For 2 long weeks, I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost made me feel condemnation. The Holy Ghost put conviction on me. I was so miserable. The 2 worst weeks of my life was when I knew I was lost. And I had admitted to God that I was a sinner and still could not bring myself, for whatever the reason was, to bow my knee and call upon Him to be my Savior. Amen. I bowed down September the 14th, 1996. But there, when I bowed down, I was so ashamed of what I was. I didn't even believe God would even want to look at me. When I cried out to Him and said, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the mess I've made out of my life. I'm sorry for the sinner I am. I felt the power of Almighty God, the power of the gospel, amen, reach my life. And that cleansing began to happen. When I lifted my eyes, I wasn't a sinner anymore.
Amen.
And I seen the Lord to be a very, very wonderful and gracious and beautiful Lord. Amen. 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 Those who are redeemed by the Lord are able to see the beauty of His honor and His majesty. Not only that, they see His sanctuary in a brand new light. The verse said they'll not only see the honor and majesty, they'll see the strength and the beauty that's in His sanctuary. Everybody listen here. Before I got saved, I hated church. I was raised in it. The rule was, if you're under daddy's roof, you're going to church. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. And if you don't like that, you want to buck that, you can hit the trail. So I was raised. And it was right. And I'm thankful for it now. But making somebody come to church won't make them love it if they don't know the one whose house it is. And I hated it. I hated just about everything about it. And I can't explain it. Just like that, Brother Mark. Just like that. Just that fast. When I got saved, all of a sudden everything about the church, and it was everything about the church that I hated, I fell in love with. In these 25 years of being saved, I can tell you I've seen some ugly things happen in church. I've seen some Christians do some ugly things. I've probably done my fair share of ugly things. I'm ashamed of that. But you know what I still see tonight when I come to the house of God? I still see a place that is God's, that is full of strength. It's full of strength, full of beauty.
Amen.
So yeah, I know so-and-so. Won't you quit looking at so-and-so? If you're saved tonight, you can see things that the carnal eye cannot see. And only the saved can see that.
Amen.
You say, preacher, why are you still in church? Many heartaches as you've been through. Because God saved me.
Amen.
When He saved me, there was a splendor after I received salvation's message that lets me see Him in a brand new light. Lets me see His sanctuary in a brand new light. I'm thankful for the change Jesus made. Why don't we take that to somebody else? I said, preacher, I've tried. It don't work. I've gotten away from reminding you this. I need to remind myself, it ain't about the outcome. It's about the obedience.
Amen.
The Bible said, your King James Bible, what is it, Brother Mike?
Perfect.
What you tell me the other night is?
It's miraculously magnificent and majestic.
Amen. I think that's pretty good, ain't it? How many of y'all believe that?
Amen.
I just preached to you from your Bible tonight. We're to be showing forth His salvation from day to day.
Amen.
From day to day. You say, preacher, I'm nervous about it. That's just the old flesh.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to start knocking doors here in a few weeks. That's why I find it amazing how the Lord, just right on time and some other things that we've got coming, even Sunday night we'll preach, how it all fits. Amen. We'll get started that first Tuesday night of April. And you know what, Brother Jeff, I'll have a few little butterflies going through. Because nobody likes to get the door slammed in your face. Nobody likes to be put off. Nobody likes, they act certain ways. Amen. But you know what we ought to determine? It's our responsibility. It's my responsibility. It's your responsibility. Day to day. Maybe tomorrow you just say, Lord, open my eyes. Let me see a heathen somewhere. They ain't got to have tattoos and piercings everywhere and be smoking cigarettes and... they're sinners of all sorts and all kinds that Jesus came and died for. Amen. Oh, that we would announce the good news. Amen.